mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make the plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running around.
How are we feeling this morning, Packers fans? Game two of the preseason in the books, and womp, womp, womp. 27-2, the final score. I know. I want to make sure we get this out right away. Preseason scores don't matter. Everyone's going to throw in your face the years that teams have lost every game in the preseason and gone on to have fantastic, successful, productive years. And vice versa, years that teams have won every game in the preseason.
We suck again!
And then stunk during the regular season. I get it is not an indicator of success in the regular season. But you had to expect more from your Green Bay Packers, even the twos, than 2 points. Two!
Safety. Defense got a safety. It's pretty sick for a preseason game.
Just the one, though.
I mean,
second downgrade.
What, you were hoping for more safety?
I was hoping for more points.
Does a safety get downgraded when it's Zach Wilson? Feels like that should be worth 1 point.
A little bit.
Yeah, he's a special boy.
I thought one of the kickers hit the upright and it went through, but they took a point away.
That one's only worth 2 points. You didn't get the full three.
Would that be style points? Like, I'm actually intrigued by this development that you're pitching here. So you kick a field goal, but if
like
it isn't pretty, if you're sitting on the edge of your seat as it's happening, they go, minus one for making us pucker.
That would be an interesting rule change. You hit a crossbar and it's only worth 2 points versus if you hit it perfectly in the middle, then it's worth three.
Chewy, tell me how I should feel this morning after watching the Green Bay Packers lose in the second game of the preseason.
Yeah, it's fine. They're going to get yelled at, or they should get yelled at. They should get ripped because it sounded like the whole trip out to Denver was not very positive. So it's fine. They weren't ready to play. It's this time of camp, probably even though it's...
Wouldn't it be that time of camp for the other side too?
Sure. It's just, you get to this point, you just flush it. My only concern, because we didn't lose a lot of preseason games because our backups were so good.
Sure.
I don't think this team's very deep.
No.
I don't think it's, especially offensive line-wise. I'm not taking a lot out of this, but if they go and lay another egg against Baltimore... I think they're feeling a little bit too good about themselves after last year.
And we will have that conversation as the show goes on, what the approach should be for that third and final preseason game against the Baltimore Ravens. They will, of course, have the joint practice as well. Gabe, your reaction yesterday to the Packers laying what... Well, look, again, does it matter in the grand scheme of things? No. But it can be an indicator of where the team is. Now, I saw Matt Schneidman, I saw Jason Wilde, I saw all these people saying, well, listen... If none of the Packers starters play during the regular season, this team may be in trouble. Hardy har har, sarcasm, and satire. We get it. The starters didn't play. I think there was one, maybe two, from what I saw.
I mean, there were 31 guys who didn't play. A lot of the starters sat. So preseason games, as I've been trying to tell everyone, mean nothing. But in 2024 in the NFL, joint practices are the games for the starters.
Schneidman said Bullard/Williams played.
Yeah.
They will likely be starters.
Somebody will be a starter there.
But you'd expect
The joint practices are everything. They put like crap in the joint practice.
Thank you. That was the pivot I was waiting to make. 7:05 is fine. We can make it right now at 7:05 rather than belaboring the point of they stunk in the preseason game. Yes, this is what I have been led to believe, that the preseason games do not matter, but joint practices are something that the Packers are actually focusing on, and they are trying to take away, to extrapolate, to glean something about their team, which is the only reason why you do the joint practices. So, reports out of Denver from earlier this week at that joint practice, Gabe, were not good for the Green Bay Packers.
No.
In fact, people who are on the ground, boots on the ground, covering the practices, who do this sort of thing for a living, Diana Rossini and Chase Daniel, who do the podcast for The Athletic, Scoop City, both thought that the Denver Broncos 1 offense and the Denver Broncos 1 defense outperformed their counterparts.
And this isn't a playoff team. Denver's not a playoff team.
Correct.
They'll be better than they were last year, But they're not a playoff team, and they shouldn't be deep. Because
no.
They're trying to build.
Well, and they don't have a lot of money because they're eating a lot of money from Russell Wilson.
Just going into the game, there was one guy that looked like he belonged. Because it's vanilla, but you still should see guys like, that was a nice play. Hopper was the only one.
Yeah.
That's it.
Tyrone Hopper. That was it. That's it. That's
Emmanuel Wilson? Is that his name?
Yes.
He's got a little more wiggle than Dylan. Not much. I mean, he didn't impress
me.
Half a wiggle?
He doesn't have the full wiggle. Yeah. Just
I hate to say it, but it's like they need to upgrade that position because if something happens to Jacobs,
well, you don't know what you have.
No running game.
I mean, we don't know what there is with Marshawn Lloyd because he's been hurt.
He ain't going to play. He's going to be one of those rookies that, like, doesn't know how to play hurt. Doesn't know how to play hurt. There's a difference.
Oh, sure.
I was there. I knew. I knew what it was like. Like, you're not hurt. Or you're not injured. You're hurt. You got to play hurt. And I have concerns about Morgan. I have concerns about their offensive line.
Well, Bill Huber wrote an unbelievable piece over at Sports Illustrated, kind of getting after everybody in terms of the offense. Because I think that's the big issue right now, right? Like, oh, this offense is supposed to be really great, but they've struggled. Well, maybe that's because the Packers' defense is really good. So then you have an opportunity to go up against the Broncos in practice, and the offense doesn't stand out. Here's what Bill Huber had to say. The $220 million quarterback hasn't torn apart Green Bay's defense at training camp, didn't fare any better against the Broncos on Friday. That deep and dynamic group of pass catchers didn't light up a Broncos secondary that's fairly mediocre beyond cornerback Patrick Surtain. And the offensive line depth remains as deep as a puddle in the middle of the Sahara. Whew.
That's going to the hoop.
You have to have at least a little bit of concern. Not saying that this is, they're going to be in trouble when they open up against the Eagles. But that Eagles team is going to be out there with something to prove after the way their season ended. They added Saquon Barkley. That's a really good team you're going to be facing in week one. And it doesn't seem right now that the Packers are prepared to play the regular season.
So 800-990-3776, we are using the old Seinfeld scale of concern for the Green Bay Packers this morning. Again, I want to be clear. No one over here is panicking about a 27-2 loss in the preseason. We understand how predictive success in preseason games is. And, of course, the league seems to continue to be backing off and backing off and backing off of the significance of the relevance of those games in particular. But the Packers told us that they feel strongly that they are using these joint practices as barometers and, as we will continue to discuss as the show goes on, reviews from that practice were not great. Let's hear from Matt LaFleur talking about the game last night and how he felt his number two units did.
I don't ever want to look at it like that. You always want whoever you put out there to go out there and compete at the highest level. And the thing I challenged our team on is I said, you gotta check yourself every play. Are you giving your max effort? Are you straining the way that we want you to strain? Is the style of play what we want to see? So I think it'll be a good opportunity for all of us to kind of evaluate and see the guys that really want to put it all out there for not only for themselves, but for the team.
Does he have any level other than that one? That's like, what is that? Like a three?
Yeah. Like when he's yelling at Jason about three down linemen.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Seems to be the only time he really gets worked up.
Again, I hear your words. You're unhappy.
Or a number one receiver. Who's the number one receiver?
But the volume and the energy and the projection of those concerns doesn't match, right? Like, I'm not saying I need you over there like throwing Gatorade containers and punching walls and stuff, but holy moly, Matt LaFleur.
I mean, he's probably just cashed after the game.
No, they just weren't ready. This whole trip, they weren't ready for whatever reason. They just didn't perform. That's on him. Partly it's on him because he didn't have them, even though it's a preseason game and it's training camp. That's on him to get your team ready to play.
But, and again, I'm not full, sky is falling, five alarm fire going on.
No.
But
there are concerns.
I was about to say, we're less than 3 weeks away from the regular season here, Chu.
Yes.
In 2 weeks, 2 weeks from Friday, the Packers are going to be playing a game that counts in Brazil.
Yeah.
Do you think that this team is ready? If the game was this Friday, if the game was this Friday, would they be ready?
Which, again, is fine. And I'll use this example, which I was thinking about yesterday after watching the Packers preseason game and going, whew. Chaser, my 15-year-old, has a baseball tryout for a club team in 2 weeks. Okay, not this week, but the following week. So yesterday we go to the cage, right? Whiff City. Whiff City. Now, to his defense, in his defense, he has not swung a baseball bat in 3 weeks. Okay, since the summer season ended. And he's been golfing, he's been practicing football, he's been doing other things, but it was almost like, whoa, he forgot how to swing, right? Big hole. I'm not concerned about the tryout today, but if you don't take the things you saw on that tape, on that film, on that recording, and go, need to fix this, get back to this, right? Like, then you are being negligent. Then I do have concerns. But the Packers should be able to look at what they did in that joint practice and even last night with the number twos, Gabe, and should be able to go, got a lot of stuff to work on over the next few weeks.
Can they fix everything? Because it's, what? Let's go this way. What's going well right now for the Green Bay Packers? What's the positive? What's the, okay, you know what? Maybe they won't have everything fixed by week one when they take on the Eagles. Who and what are doing things right and well right now?
Yeah, I'm not concerned about Josh Jacobs.
Okay.
Some concern about, like Holmgren would always say, there's no switch. You can't turn a switch on and say, oh, okay, now we're good to go. It's reps. It's reps. When I didn't get reps that 1 year and it went right into the regular season, I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. They're struggling a little bit, but this whole thing of like, oh, they're going to be great. Let's just pump the brakes.
Yeah, did the Bears have any other plays other than the one play that I've seen every single place of Caleb Williams rolling to his left and hitting Roma Dunze on the sideline? I have seen that play now 7,000 times in the last 24 hours. Were there any other plays from the Bears game? Sorry, I digressed you. I didn't mean to, but like, got a little distracted there. Bears, Super Bowl.
No, I'm not panicking. I'm not going there. I'm not looking in my rearview mirror anymore. But some of this stuff is explainable. Everyone expects all these rookies and second-year guys to make that next jump to be great. That's not how it works. You know why there's so many busts in college? You know why there's so many busts? Five stars that suck. You know why?
Why?
Because they max out when they're 18 years old, and that's the best they're ever going to be. Not everyone maxes out at 23, 24, 5 years old. Some guys don't. So if you're expecting all these receivers to make that next jump, we're going to have five number ones. Let me tell you this. It's not how it works. Okay? Some guys are at a point where that's as good as they're getting.
Okay, so now you're making me feel like you are not panicking, but you're a little more concerned. The fact that you just said that about the wide receivers makes me feel like, oh, maybe there is a little cause for concern with this Green Bay Packers squad. Let's put it on the Seinfeld scale of concern. Help me remember the levels, the things. We got yada, 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 right, Joshy?
Yada, yada, yada.
Which means, no concern. It's preseason. Who cares? They'll get it figured out. There's still time. Then you got, you look a little stressed.
You look a little stressed.
Oh, I'm stressed.
And then you got, I'm freaking out. Is there another one or is that the end?
That's it.
Okay, three. I wasn't sure. It's been a while since we've used first of all, I nailed all of them. I just didn't know if there was another one kind of lingering out there in the woods.
What would you say is past freaking out?
It's a great question. Great follow-up.
I don't know.
The sky is falling.
Jump. Wow. Should not have repeated.
I'm below yada, yada, yada.
You're below?
Yeah.
You're below?
I'm not panicking at all.
There is no below.
We can't go lower.
Yeah. Just like, well, what would be lower than yada, yada, yada if we're going to quiz her on what's higher than what's I'm freaking out?
What's a click below dumb?
I'm looking at it.
I'm trying to expand that scale in every way I can.
Fair enough.
No, but there's things I look at. See, most people, when they watch a game, follow the ball.
Correct. Most
I don't
people.
Follow. Like Lucas Van Ness, great. Great energy motor. Dude, you have to develop some kind of move.
Well, did you at least
it
like
it can't be the same move every single time.
Oh, you didn't watch the joint practice. Never mind. Because Musgrave graded well out of the joint practice.
No, I'm saying Van Ness.
I know. And I was saying on the other side of the ball, you're a tight end guy. Like, I didn't know if maybe you walked away going, hey, my tight end, my position.
Why? You could watch that?
No.
But there were clips on social, there were. And yeah. I read articles.
And then Andre Dillard?
Look, I mean, you don't have to tell me he sucks. Every report I've ever seen says he sucks.
Dude, your feet are just awful. You're terrible, you know? So there's things like that I look at, you know?
Did you watch Royce Newman? That was an adventure.
I, you know what? Another thing that you notice, I hope you guys notice the difference between a 3-4 and a 4-3. You see how much downhill stuff there is? And those gaps get big if guys do not stay disciplined. That was my concern about the run.
And to Gabe's point about week one versus the Eagles.
They got a nice new shiny toy at running back.
Oh,
they're
going
to want to use him. 800-990-3776. We're putting out the Seinfeld scale of concern again. It's not so much the 27-2 final score. It's the reports that came out of the joint practice against the Broncos earlier this week. And we still don't know what Matt LaFleur's plan is for his starters for week three against the Ravens. Maybe it changes this week because of how they performed or underperformed in Denver. 800-990-3776. Looking for your reaction this morning. We are going to hear some of those reports from Denver, from those practices, right after this.
Looking for a better used car interest rate? At Ewald, they make it easy to save thousands during the used car rate reduction event, and you can get it rates as low as 4.9% on Ewald Automotive Group's best used cars. 4.9% on over 600 vehicles at 10 locations. Increase your purchase power with a better used car from the name Milwaukee has trusted for over 60 years. Race to your local Ewald for this deal until August 31st. It's ending soon, so go to EwaldAuto.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Come on, guys, let's think about this. Could you do 50 straight days of burgers?
That was very condescending. I just want to be clear.
Let's put our heads together.
Again, I have children. I know condescending when I hear it.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Not good enough. We got humbled in practice and certainly got humbled again today in the game. And, you know, I just looking for a certain style of play that I don't think we really saw, not up to the standard. You know, I thought it got a little bit better in the second half, but certainly it still wasn't good enough.
Packers lose to the Broncos last night in preseason action, 27-2, the final score. That is not a misspeak. Two. Scored 2 points. A safety.
It's kind of cool.
Kind of cool?
Hey, you're going to go down with a blaze of glory.
Yeah, how many
There's
times
nothing
do you
better
score
than
just
seeing a two?
Yeah, yes. How many times do you see just two on, you know, on the score
There's
sheet?
Only one way to do that.
You're very much lipstick pigging this sucker right now. A lot of reaction rolling in on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. Brandon in Tulsa saying, is it possible they overperformed last year and are closer to the 2-5 stink pot we saw in the first half of the season than the group that beat Dallas in the playoffs? Gabe, your reaction to that?
Is that possible? I guess. But it just doesn't seem like it, right? Like, I mean, there is a real possibility, like Chewy was saying, that they don't step up and become this double-digit win team and are maybe kind of mired around that 9-8 mark. But I'm just at a point where it's just a little more than yada, yada, yada. We are too deep into camp, and there are too many red flags right now for me to go, yeah, everything's fine. They're going to be fine. The regular season starts. They're going to hit the ground running. It's going to be great. No, there are too many red flags right now that I'm kind of you're paying attention to, whether that's offensive line depth, whether that's Jordan Love not performing on a consistent basis, questions about the defense. Like, because, again, the defense has been dominating the offense the entire camp. And then they show up against a Broncos team, and that doesn't go well for them in the joint practice. I know the starters didn't play in the 27 points they gave up last night, but they still did not play well in that joint practice. So what happened?
Yeah, that's the most concerning thing, because normally after a bad practice like that, they should get their ass ripped and then come out and then at least show more energy in the game. It could still lose, but just by watching the game, there's no juice. Didn't look like they wanted to be there. Watching the clock until the game's over.
London-esque.
Yeah, that's very... it happens. It happens. That's why this week is very important. If they look like crap on Thursday against the Ravens, and I can tell you this, Ravens are a hell of a lot better than the Denver Broncos defensively. Yes, and it'll be, I'm not going to say panic, But there are areas of this team that are like, okay, offensive line-wise.
Big question mark.
You know?
Big question mark there.
800-990-3776. A lot of reaction rolling in on this. Mad City Brew says, never freaking out. Technomatic says, didn't see the game and have no clue what happened, but I'm certain this is an overreaction. I want to be clear, Technomatic. We are not reacting specifically to the outcome of the game last night or even the performance in the game last night because we recognize that those were the twos out there. It's a preseason game. The value of the preseason games continues to be minimized and shrinks and shrinks. However, the joint practice on Thursday is what we are kind of circling around, what we are sort of marinating on. I want you to listen to some reaction from Scoop City's team of Diana Rossini and Chase Daniel, former NFL quarterback, as they watched the joint practice between Green Bay and Denver earlier this week, last week.
Quick little check-in on the ground, Denver Broncos versus the Green Bay Packers in joint practices. A very spirited practice today.
There was a lot of juice in Denver. Star of the camp, though, was...
Though, easily the Broncos defense. Vance Joseph has this defense flying around. Multiple pressure packages, multiple sacks, multiple PBUs, pass breakups. There were like three or four dropped interceptions. What stood out to you?
Well, they finally were able to get one. So three dropped, and they were finally able...
Finally able to get the one interception, I think is what Diana Rossini was going to say. You guys, they said no question the star of that practice, of that joint practice, was the Broncos defense. Okay, like right there, I sent it to you guys and was like, I don't love this. Don't love that they sat there and watched the practice and they don't have a dog in the fight. I don't care who performs better, looks better at a joint practice in August. And that was their reaction. Joshy, I believe you have one more from their reaction to the joint practice.
To me, look, there's so much hype around Bo Nix. And I think we had to see it to really believe it. And we saw it. And we spoke with Bo a little bit. And we also spoke with Sean Payton about it all. And this thing is just headed towards, I think, a really good marriage between coach and quarterback. The rookie is consuming and understanding everything that is being given to him. And then we saw it on the field. What'd you see from Bo?
Yeah, Bo Nix was running the ones today against the ones for Green Bay. And I'm telling you, he looked elite. He really did. He moved the ball down the field nice and slow and taking shots down the field when it protects itself. But my biggest thing for Bo, he's not turning the football over. Everyone wants to say, oh, he's checking the ball down. He's doing this. These checkdowns are getting 10 plus yards.
Okay, I don't really care about Bo Nix. I don't really care how well Bo Nix looked. All I care about is that these two football reporters slash analysts left the joint practice between the Green Bay Packers and the Denver Broncos and were gushing about not our quarterback, guys, not Jordan Love, who just got the biggest contract in the NFL at the position, not him, the rookie on the other side of the football, Chew. Is that enough cause for concern?
Are you happy now?
With what?
Are you happy now? You are upset with the gush fest. We're gushing too much. We're gushing. Yeah. Oh, gush, gush, gush. Everybody loves everybody.
Yeah.
You happy now?
But let's meet in the middle. I'm not going doom and gloom, and I'm not going gush fest. You know, the joint practice worries me more than the game.
Should.
100%.
It should.
100%.
That's concerning. Jordan Love hasn't looked sharp for whatever reason. Well, it's explainable because, like I said last week, he's gone up against Joe Barry's defense for 3 years, which is very vanilla, sit back there, easy to pick apart. When you play a more aggressive style defense where you don't know what they're doing or you may be a little confused, that's concerning. I just don't like the reps. You know what I mean?
Sure. How much? Because I know there was, you know, two-minute drill, and then Kadeem Telfort gives up a sack. I mean, could this just be as simple as, okay, once Zach Tom's healthy, he's out there for the regular season, that kind of solidifies at least the starting offensive line, because there's still a little bit of unsettling things going on with the offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, what's going to happen at guard? Is Morgan going to play there? Is he going to be...
Morgan's the right guard.
Okay, is he going to have the, I don't know what playing, how to play hurt yet? You know, is he going to play all 17 games? If there's any injuries on the offensive line, that's very concerning. There's no panic, but you have to get better every day, every week, every whatever, you have to get better. And this certainly knocked them back a little bit. Maybe, you know what? Maybe they are flying high after last year and think they have arrived when they really haven't. I don't know. But I tell you this, I'm putting some of it on LaFleur. Because he's responsible for getting this team ready to play. And we're going to see if they're ready to play in the joint practice. And I would assume they're not going to play starters on Saturday. But I mean, injuries are going to happen. You're going to need some of these number twos to perform during the season in order for them to be successful in the end. So
wouldn't it have been nice also? You know, I mentioned the Jordan Love thing. Would have loved to have had them gushing over the Green Bay Packers quarterback. Wouldn't it have been nice also for the Green Bay Packers number one defense to make Bo Nix look like, oh, I don't know, a rookie? Wouldn't that have been nice, right, to come out of it? But that wasn't the case either, guys.
Nope.
These guys didn't say, oh, you know, Bo Nix, he's a rookie out there. There were a few plays that he'd love to have back. They didn't say that because the Green Bay Packers was giving him fits. Green Bay Packers were getting to the quarterback. Green Bay, none of it. Now, am I supposed to believe that, you know, Jeff Hafley's crew is like, don't show him anything. All vanilla. Right, because to your point, yeah. Chu, you got to have reps. You got to be doing the actual dang thing in order to be able to do the dang thing when it matters.
Now, they were very vanilla in the game last night.
Sure.
Which is probably what you want, but they can kind of, I think, to a certain extent, control what is going to be released from this joint practice.
Yes.
He didn't put the kitchen sink in, you know? But the garbage disposal's hooked up. They haven't turned it on yet. I mean, there's things that you have to do.
Got to wire it in.
And maybe they can't. I said this way back when. Maybe it was 65% Joe Barry, and it was the other math, the players. I can tell you this. It wasn't 100% Joe Barry. I'll take that bet all day long, and we may find out. You know? But these people that are like, oh, this defense is going to be top five, top three. Come on, give me a break. That's not how it works, bro. Ain't how it works.
Yeah, bro.
You know?
Bruh.
Come at me, bruh.
Yeah.
Have you sound like a guy existed? Wearing a flat brim hat is what you sound like right now.
Bad decision. I went with it anyways.
Oh, no.
Well, there weren't a lot of people in the restaurant, so it wasn't that bad.
Were there any people in the restaurant?
I went to take a leak in the bathroom. I'm like, oh, what are you doing? You're not 28, you tool. At least I can admit it, right?
Hey, mistakes were made.
I mean, you asked us for our opinion on whether or not you could pull off the flat brim hat. To be honest with you, I thought we were talking like a Tommy Bahama hat when you first said it. That's why I was like, I'm going to need a picture. And then you said it was a ball cap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With the flat brim.
But you know what gave me false confidence? When Ashton replies about fashion, you know it's a lock because he's a moron. He's the worst dresser in the station. So that gave me Ashton said, definitely don't wear it. I'm like, okay, let's go opposite of him because he's clueless.
Uh-huh. And then,
Jen chimed in, but it was too late. I was on my way. Oh, I was already there.
Could it, you know, take the hat off?
Then I had hat.
It's too late.
Which is not a good look.
You already
decisions were made.
Hat.
Yeah, decisions were made.
You brought a reserve hat.
And no shower.
Ooh.
All right, well.
So it's not like you throw a little gel under the hat just in case.
Sure.
This was just, not good.
Just dry hair.
Live and learn, though.
Yeah. I mean, you could have gone, I guess you could put on the hat backwards, I guess.
I could have done that.
Yes. A little Fred Durst action.
I choked. But as soon as we left the restaurant, hat was off.
Would you just throw it in the lake?
It's in the back of the truck.
I'm sure you can re-gift it. Somebody will.
Where did you get a flat-brimmed hat?
From my buddy. And he asked me, he said, do you want the flat brim or do you want the dad hat, I think he called it?
Yeah. Oh, like, so you revolted on principle.
I'm trying to be hip.
The hat all three of us are wearing in the room would be considered dad hats. Because
those
they're
are dad
adjustables.
Hats? And so that's backwards. What I want from now on?
Yeah.
You know where my mind immediately went? Mom jeans. Mom jeans are horrible.
Oh, but you're saying so the dad hat.
So I thought the dad
is
hat
the
was
equivalent
the equivalent of mom jeans.
I think they are.
Nah, the dad hat's way cooler than the mom jeans, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, mom jeans are still in.
Very.
People still wear them.
I mean, they're not attractive at all.
No.
not flattering.
Not, not the best for the wrong.
Any possible way, but they are in still for whatever reason.
So I'm learning.
Wait,
I'm
so learning. What did your wife say when you asked?
She wasn't there.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Did you meet her out or did you go
no.
out without her? Okay.
So she never saw it?
She never saw it.
I was going to say, I feel like she would have.
She probably would have told
it.
Me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Said, oh, you look- there is one thing I am.
And here's
super
the problem. If I didn't send it to you guys and I sent it to my kids, they would have roasted me.
Yes. They
absolutely. Would've. So I can't go to them. So.
Yeah, I feel I mean, like at some level that was
Ashton
an endorsement
was doing.
Of us, right? Was that just an endorsement
sure
of us
was.
As your yes. as your colleagues?
I
right?
think that was more of a I didn't have anybody else to turn to, didn't know what else to do
like,
situation.
Let me ask you
I don't
this.
Know if it's an endorsement.
Let me
for
ask
us.
You this. Does Kyle Shanahan look like an absolute tool on the sideline with his flat brimmed hat?
No, I think it looks good because what I told you in the text, the ratio of brim to top has to be the same. That one that you showed us was narrower at the top, so it was doing one of these things.
So like I look like a cone head?
Look, bud.
Look a little pyramid-y.
You might just have too big of a head to try to pull that off.
It's a 7 5/8. Everyone has a 7 5/8.
Yeah,
why
Bruce
does everyone
Bochy?
Say my head is big?
Because you're a large human. Like it makes I didn't say your head is proportional to the rest
okay.
of your body because
right.
you're a massive human being.
Okay. Also, I'll take that.
Kyle Shanahan's hats are custom made for him. So like he's not going to have the weird looking cone head like you had.
I just want to remind you guys that if you Google Bruce Bochy, of the things that come up below his name, Bruce Bochy age, Bruce Bochy stats, Bruce Bochy coaching record, Bruce Bochy hat sizes,
yeah.
number 4.
I mean, it's the age old question. What would you rather have, $1 million or Bruce Bochy's head full of nickels?
Why? He's got a huge head.
Oh, he's got a dumb giant.
Would you rather have a huge melon. Head or a small head?
8 1/4.
That is huge. The biggest helmet I have ever heard of is 8.
He's sprinting past that. It's another 2 sizes past
wow.
it.
Him and your guy, who's the singer? Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, he's got a pumpkin.
All right, we got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Much more to get to this morning. Brewers with a very big weekend. We'll discuss that as the morning continues as well. Plus, I am headed to Ireland in about 12 hours. We'll talk about my trip as Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on. If you love sports betting, you got to make your way to the Sportsbook at Pottawatomie Hotel in Milwaukee. It has everything a sports fanatic could want and more. You okay over there? Whew. Get the ultimate experience with dozens of self-service betting kiosks, seating for more than 200 people, a broadcast booth, a first-class bar, and their new restaurant, The Kitchen. They also have a VIP deck and, of course, the big kahuna, the video wall over 2,000 square feet. If you're in a rush, they also have free parking for you. They've really figured it all out. It's a new era of sports betting at Pottawatomie, so get in on the action.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So you mentioned Super Bowls and parties and how they don't go hand in hand, which again is an absurd comment by you two, but it's
Wait.
Just one of many on the show.
Dumber thing that Chewy has said this morning. Super Bowls and parties don't go hand in hand, or cheddar is not a top 10 cheese.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I went to a shrink to analyze my dreams. She says it's like a sex that's bringing me.
Got RIP to Bill Huber's mentions this morning, Gabe. He is, of course, the beat reporter for the Packers who wrote the article talking about Matt LaFleur's feelings after the 27-2 loss in the preseason. We know, it is just a preseason game. But Huber says, I'm reporting what the coach said. The coach has concerns. People are like, oh, of course he has concerns. Coaches will use anything to motivate their group to get them. Maybe, again, not saying that's not true, but I also think if he values and prioritizes the practice didn't go well against a rookie quarterback and a young, not very good defense for the Broncos, then there is cause for concern for Matt LaFleur. So that brings me to our next topic, Chew. What should the Packers do in the preseason game against the Ravens? Because it is the final one, right? We only famously get 3 now, new CBA and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
We've only seen 3 snaps from the number one offense.
Yep.
Do you want to see them play an extended portion of the game against the Ravens?
I would privately do what he did when he was talking about fighting against the Broncos. You fight, you're going to play in the game. But I would put it as, if you don't play well again, you're playing in the game. So it's on you. So you do whatever you got to do to get ready for this. You weren't last week against Denver. Baltimore is a top 10 defense. Denver is not. If you don't play well and you lay an egg, you're playing Saturday. Simple as that.
How much are you playing on Saturday?
Depends on them. I'm with one of the texters, like, and I said, there's no switch. You can't play like crap in the preseason and get to the Eagles and go, oh, just flip the switch and it'll be fine. No, it's reps and reps. And I think you're seeing that now. It's reps and reps and teaching and learning. So that's, I'd put it on them. I hate to say it, but it almost feels like, and I'm kind of anti, team meeting time.
It's way too early. Like, you can't sit here and tell me you're not worried and everything's fine, and then also bring up maybe it's time for a team meeting. Team meeting is when things are bad, like real bad. We need this team meeting to kind of pull us out of this hole.
Yeah, but they're young. Do they know how to win when it matters?
What do you mean by that? Because wouldn't you argue that winning the way they did at the end of the season, yes, beating the Bears, getting
they don't
into the
playoffs, know how to handle
and winning
it. I mean, some teams don't know how to handle it.
Oh, sure.
They think, oh, we've arrived. Oh, did you see power rankings? We're third. We're good. Just ask everyone how good we are.
It's one of my favorite Mike McCarthyisms, and he said it in his opening press conference. How well we do is going to be based on how well we handle success and stack success. Like, it's an old Mike McCarthyism, but I think it's 100% true. Okay, you've tasted some success. Now, how do you handle
it? Well, it reminds me of the rat poison that Nick Saban is famous for, right, Chu? Like, all of those press clippings and all of that hype and gush from the media, he always told his guys, don't take it. Don't eat the cheese. It's rat poison.
Yeah.
And it feels like maybe what you're saying is they've taken a little bit of the rat poison and think they can just set foot on the field and the other team's going to go, you know what? We changed our mind. We're going home. We don't want to play the vaunted Green Bay Packers. It's just not going to happen.
Who's the leader on the offense? I mean, we all going to say Jordan Love, but who's the leader? Jordan doesn't seem comfortable in that role yet.
But it,
he doesn't seem sure of his role.
I mean, other than Elgton Jenkins, he's like the senior statesman on that offense.
Yeah.
He's been around the longest.
Yeah.
Could it be Jacobs eventually?
Maybe, but he's just so new.
I'll tell you another thing.
And here's the other thing. Jacobs might be only around for a year based on the contract.
I mean, a lot of people poo-poo this stuff. There's a lot of pressure being the highest paid player ever in the NFL. If you don't think there's pressure there, you're crazy.
Sure, but how does that pressure manifest? That's all I care about. I get that there's pressure. It's the flipping NFL. How does it manifest? Does he...
When you start questioning yourself? Well, like, okay. Sure. I mean, it sounds to me like he should have thrown 4 picks.
At the joint practices.
4 picks.
Against a defense that is, what did we say, guys?
Yeah, I just looked. They were 28th, I think, last year in the league. So
not
I don't think
great.
I don't think they're going from 28 to 8.
Ninth.
You know? I mean, there could be. We don't know. There could be overconfidence.
Gabe, how
you
do
know?
You want them to handle the preseason game against the Ravens?
I mean, the other thing about watching the twos out there, there's not a lot of depth. Like, so if they suffer an injury by, you know, sending, okay, offensive line, you're going out there.
Whoa.
Something happens to Elgton Jenkins.
I eat because I'm fat. I'm fat because I eat. I basically is what you're saying here. There's a chicken or the egg thing happening.
So,
you put your starters out there and somebody gets hurt. And now you're reliant on the depth that you don't really have in order to get through a stretch of the regular season.
Correct. So I think that the joint practice, again, is going to be the most important thing. And I guess I just don't care how many reps they get in the regular season, because Jordan got plenty of reps. Wait, he threw 31 passes in the 11-on-11s against the Broncos in the joint practice. That's almost a full game. It's basically a full game of reps that he's getting in that joint practice. Yes, it's not a game, but it's as close as you're going to get. And I think those are more valuable to the Packers. Keep that going. You know, be able to practice it, be able to control it. And that is your preseason Super Bowl.
So you're
Thursday against the Ravens.
Punt on the game.
Yeah,
punt
on
the
game. The
starters.
Don't care about the
against
game.
The Ravens. By the way, did I screw up that fat bleep Sturt? I don't know if you can say his name on the radio. I'm trying to be more careful. Quote, you know, from
Austin Powers.
Yes, thank you. There it is. Thank you very much. Did I screw up his thing? I eat because I'm unhappy. I'm unhappy because I eat. Did I mess that up the first time? I think I messed it up pretty bad,
actually. Well, you said I'm fat because I eat. I eat because I'm fat, right. I believe is what you said.
And I think he said unhappy. So anyway, the point is, it's a vicious cycle, as he said famously, to your point about whether or not the ones should play in the preseason. Let's put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. After seeing what you saw for the Packers this past week versus Denver, and we can include the joint practice and the preseason loss. After seeing what you saw with the Packers versus the Broncos, how much do you want to see the starters play against the Baltimore Ravens? You want to see the starters play the first quarter? You want to see them play the first half? You want to see them not play at all? To Gabe's point, you don't really have depth behind them if somebody gets injured in a meaningless preseason game. 800-990-3776. We'll take a break. Roll on right after this.
Doesn't matter what age you are, low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. That's where Mentality comes in. Local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. Mentality is going to take care of you if your testosterone levels are low. Well, how do you know? Maybe you're tired, groggy, just don't feel like yourself, don't have that energy to attack your day. Those all could be signs of low testosterone. They sure were for me. You book an appointment, lowtusa.com. You go through their process, get a blood panel done. Within a week, your results are back to you. And if your testosterone levels are low, Mentality can work for you. They'll come up with a customized testosterone treatment plan just for you to make sure that your testosterone levels are where they need to be and you can get that energy back. Go to lowtusa.com. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more about Mentality and their low testosterone treatments. lowtusa.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He hates the ending of all comedies. Apparently doesn't like happy endings.
I love happy endings. Don't take it that far.
Oh, Muy bueno.
Maybe that's a vote for Groundhog Day for you.
On 94.5 ESPN.
As we were discussing the Green Bay Packers, because I have seen it on all of the morning sports shows, Get Up, Good Morning Football. A lot of talk about Caleb Williams, guys. Caleb Williams, that play, he's rolling to his left, kind of his body's open, he throws down the sideline to Rome Odunze, nice completion, and all of a sudden everybody was like, yep, Hall of Famer, yep, Super Bowl bound, yep. Caleb Williams, I even saw, Chew, if you can believe it, a mashup of that play of Caleb Williams to Rome Odunze and an Aaron Rodgers very similar play throwing to a guy. I didn't even know who it was because I was like, moving on, scroll past, down the sideline. Is Caleb Williams the next Aaron Rodgers, Chew?
It's slightly premature, but we know where the gush went. There's a wind out of the north. It pushed it to the... Fine, keep the gush there. No, he looks pretty good. Pretty good. But it's preseason. So, like I said earlier in the show, I'm still not looking anymore in my rearview mirror. I know where they're at. You know? He's he's having a nice preseason.
He's going to be
good.
He's
having a nice preseason. I think he's going to be good.
He's going to be good.
I mean, if you can... be flushed out of the pocket, move around, keep your vision, and complete passes when your body's contorted in different... Yes, if I was a betting man, I'd say, hey, he's going to be pretty good.
Well, that's what
separates
him. I'm
not saying Hall of Famer, but...
No, but that's the skill that Mahomes and Rodgers have possessed of being able to extend plays and then not just tuck it and run, which can always be backbreaking, right?
Mm-hmm.
But even more backbreaking is when you escape that initial pressure and you keep your eyes downfield and then you hit an even bigger play the way he did to Odunze. It's... okay, can the Bears get him to operate within the offense, within, you know, and he had a good couple of pocket passes there too. A couple of them were dropped.
Yeah.
So it's kind of mirroring all that together. But, I mean, it looks like the ability is going to translate from
he looks the part, but he's going into a preseason game with about probably 40% that he's going to get for a regular season game. So... we'll just have to wait and see.
Well, and they've got a favorable schedule, man. They don't have to play any divisional opponents until November.
Yeah.
So are we now maybe thinking that Mina Kimes wasn't all that crazy when she referenced this division, the NFC North, as might be the best in football?
You still have the Vikings.
just dragging down the average.
Yeah, just everybody. And we got the AFC North and all the things going on over there. Like, yeah, I mean, Sam Darnold's one of the starting quarterbacks in your division. You can't be the best division in football. It's just how it works.
Is there a division in football that has four legit bona fide face of the franchise quarterbacks?
Yeah, it's the AFC North. Well, I mean, the Steelers don't know, but the Steelers are going to win 9 or 10 games because they're the Steelers.
Because of Tomlin.
Yeah, because that's what they do. But then they've, you know, Deshaun Watson's got a fully guaranteed deal. Burrow and...
Where's Seattle at?
Yeah.
Middle of the road?
Yeah.
Washington, okay. Last time I checked.
Pacific Northwest.
I mean, is this it for... Who's the kid in Arizona?
Kyler Murray?
Yeah.
Nah, he's... They liked what they saw at the end of last year when he came back from his injury.
Okay.
I don't think it's great that your brain has already punted him. I don't think it's great that you're referring to him as the kid in Arizona. Doesn't
a lot of
bode
confidence.
Well.
Probably wouldn't go high on my fantasy team.
Oh, fantasy-wise, you'd want Kyler Murray.
Don't sleep on Atlanta.
I don't think anybody is.
No, they're not.
No, I'm sleeping on them.
No,
you are?
Yeah.
I mean, they're winning that division.
Yeah, it's Kirk Cousins. They'll get to the playoffs to lose.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah, they're gonna win 10 or 11 games. Kirk Cousins is going to look great through the regular season. Guess what's going to happen in that playoff game? He's going to lay an egg and they're going to lose. We've seen this movie how many times?
Well, but now it's in red. 800-990-3776. We've got several polls up on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Go ahead and weigh in on those. We will continue the show right after this.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy are back after this on 94.5 ESPN.